You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Statewide across the vast Civic Media empire, it is indeed Make the Call. I am Jimmy Cuska. Thank you for joining us this morning. There's a lot going on in the wide world of sports, but a lot of it is football related, and we're going to talk a lot of football as part of the program today. We start out our show here at 7 a.m. by doing a little thing called Top 7 at 7, so it is time to welcome aboard our panel of folks from around Civic Media. We're going to head up north and start with Gray Gunderson at Park Balls. Gray, what's up?
Good morning, Jimmy. How's it going?
In Green Bay, we have Conrad Krieger. Conrad, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
And over in Madison, it is Parker Olson in the capital city. Parker, how's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. How we doing, fellas?
It is the top 7 at 7 as part of Make the Call. There's a lot to get to in the program today. We'll go through all of that coming up here in just a bit. But what we do at 7 a.m. is go through the top 7 sports stories, or not sports stories, as we see it for the week. And we start at number 7 or count our way down. Number 7 at the top 7 at 7. As you can tell by all of us being here, I don't think any of us are currently in the woods, but should deer gun hunting season be a state holiday? Let's start with Conrad.
I'm not much of a hunter myself, but I know the joys that people have by going out and getting into the woods and just having a fun day out there. So I think yes, it's Wisconsin. That's what we do.
I would love a 9-day holiday. And by the way, if I was out in the woods, I'd be trying to interview a white-tailed deer right about now. Parker, how about you?
I gotta admit, guys, I am a very Madison man. I have not been hunting before. However, I know it's important. It's Wisconsin. Come on. I don't see why, if opening day, why shouldn't it be a holiday? Come on.
Let's do it. All right, Gray. Gray, you're the expert on this because of where you're located in the state. Gray, should the deer hunting season be a state holiday?
Y'all, I just got dressed today like normal. I did not intentionally put on plaid and a vest to roll in and be the Northwoods representative here. But I'm about to play the role so well because yes, but also no, not every day. You know, it shouldn't be every day of the 9-day season. But I will say, the Monday after the first weekend and maybe the Friday going into the second weekend, basically make two long weekends out of it by eliminating the Monday and the Friday. That'll give the people who need it an advantage where they need to get more hunting in, and the people who don't just get a long weekend. That way everybody's going to vote for it, baby, right?
Everybody wins in that scenario. I love it. Number 6 in the top 7 at 7. What are your expectations for the Brewers and Brandon Woodruff after he comes back to Milwaukee on a qualifying offer? Conrad.
You know, I don't have too many expectations. I just want him to stay healthy. That's it. Just stay healthy for a good season. And he's a really great pitcher. So, you know, just stay healthy. That's it.
Good vibes only. All right, Gray, how about you?
Basically the same thing. If you can maintain a roster position, I don't care what sport it is, baseball or otherwise, if you can get the consistency that comes from having the same people, you're automatically in maybe not a better position, but you're avoiding those worst moves that the bad teams make. So this is a good sign all around.
Parker.
You know, guys, I wasn't even expecting Woodruff to be back. I was pretty sure that he was going to be too much of a hot commodity to come back to the Brewers, but I think he feels like he kind of owes the organization after what they have done to keep with him through his injuries. I'm expecting him to deliver for the Brewers. I think that he's going to go all out and he's going to be the ace next year.
Speaking of aces, number 5 in our top 7 at 7. Do you believe in the superpowers that are acquired by one Jordan Love during Toyotathon, Parker?
Of course. It's on, baby. It's Toyotathon. Jordan Love has been incredible during this section of the season, and I don't know if there's a real reason for it other than magic.
I'm with you on that. Conrad.
You know, at some point you just have to believe it. I mean, if you look at the numbers, he has like 30 touchdowns and like only 4 picks during this time and like 4,000 yards or something. So you got to believe it. It's Toyotathon.
It's the easiest endorsement ever. Gray, what do the numbers tell us?
Without trying to start any fights, Jimmy, this isn't a matter of belief. This is a matter of science and recognition. It's whether you see that these facts are true or whether you don't. And again, I don't want to start any arguments with anybody. We're talking about football here, but I think you get the message. Do you see it or do you not? Blindfold or not? That's the real question.
Toyotathon is on. Most serious question in our top 7 at 7 this week. We do have an actual holiday on the calendar coming up, one that is federally recognized, and that is Thanksgiving. So I have to ask, take away the turkey. What is the best Thanksgiving side dish? Conrad.
You know, I'm a little different. I don't like gravy. All right. And I know I'm weird for that, but I like potatoes with some corn with it. And yeah, that's how I do it.
Parker is agreeing with him. That's why I'm going to Parker.
I'm not a gravy guy either, Conrad. You and I can be weird together, I guess. I didn't know we were social outcasts for this. I was also going to say mashed potatoes and corn. That's good stuff. Don't get mad at me about the good mashed potatoes, guys. Come on.
All right, half the show is incredibly disappointing right now, this panel. Let's go to Gray. Gray, please redeem us.
We never step on each other, guys. We're very good about microphone etiquette and letting each other talk. But guys, I just want to fight right now. I want to break every rule that we've been laying out over these last couple of months. Like, eat them separately. They're fantastic. But why are you combining them? There's no need for speed. It's a family dinner. Like, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Don't put the ethanol in the gasoline. Keep them separate.
You need to be able to eat more. Eat it faster.
Not faster, though. Not fast. No, no, no.
You more can eat more faster. Fast.
No. Thanksgiving is a pro more. Not No.
I don't think Gray, it's the, you know, us eating fast. I think it just tastes good. I just like the taste. Too.
Gray, what's your favorite dish? Let's just answer the question.
Jimmy, I'm only going to make this worse because I've been sitting here brewing on the fact that I want the cranberry sauce with the can ridges on the side. Like, my grandmother made the best Thanksgiving turkey. The stuffing is phenomenal. All the sides are great, but I want that slice of something that shouldn't be sliced so cleanly and no berries in it, just the jelly sludge.
I will say this to you guys. Gravy, if you're not considering gravy as a food item, gravy is my favorite beverage. This week is the only week it's socially acceptable as a beverage. So I'm great just drinking it right out of the gravy boat. You really can't go wrong with mashed potatoes without corn, guys. I mean, you can still, I don't understand you guys. Parker, what are you guys doing?
I'm having a great meal is what I'm having, Jimmy.
All right, let's get back on track here. We're off the rails, and that was the intention of that question at number four, was to get us off the rails, because we have to ask now the serious sports questions, number three in our top seven at seven. The Packers have seven games remaining, including five against the NFC North. So the question is, the Packers will go what the rest of the way this season? What will their record be the rest of the way? And I want to start in Green Bay with Conrad.
I'm going to say 11-5-1. I think we got two more losses, and it's going to our divisional. I think we could see losses in Chicago and in Detroit.
Parker.
I'm looking at the schedule here, guys, and you got Vikings. I think you split that series. You got home and home in that one. I think you split that. I don't think that you're going to go into Detroit and beat the Lions. Frankly, the Bears, can't believe I'm saying this, the Bears put a little bit of not fear into me, but they've posed some thought. I think the Packers can beat the Broncos. I think they can beat the Ravens too, and I lost count. More wins than losses, I'll give you that.
All right, let's go and check the spreadsheets with Gray.
I've got the data. I'm thinking 4-3 here, guys. I think we're going to be splitting these divisional series, but I don't think, actually, I think we'll split one of these series that's coming up that we haven't touched yet. I think we'll split the Bears series. I think we beat the Vikings twice this year based on what they're currently seeing. McCarthy is absolutely bottom of the barrel right now when it comes to quarterbacks, 45th in a league with 32 starters. And yeah, the harder you look at that, the worse it gets. So, he claims that he's like the cork about to leave a bottle, was I think what he said. He thinks he's about to pop off. I frankly don't believe that until I see it, because we're talking science here. So we'll beat the Vikings coming up this weekend. We'll lose to the Lions next weekend. We'll lose to the Bears in December, but I think we'll go and beat them in Chicago. Broncos and Ravens, I'm frankly terrified by, but I think we still get the win.
So there you go. We'll do our official Packers and Vikings and Packers and Lions predictions coming up here in just a minute. But before we get there, number two in our top seven at seven, can the Bucs contend this year even with a healthy Giannis? They have not been consistent to start the year. Gray, I know that the Bucs, if you're looking at numbers, you know, it's tough without Giannis. And I think people are starting, I don't know if worry is the right word, but people are certainly skeptical of where this team goes.
Absolutely. It's been made clear that the things that have been working might not be available, let alone whether they'll work in the first place. So some sort of shaking it up is necessary. That said, I feel the team is capable of it. They've been going through these willy won'ty for a few years now. And so there have been people behind the scenes planning for no Giannis. Whether those plans are very fruitful will remain to be seen. I'll tell you what, though. I always borrow from other sports, though. And I've got this weird voodoo from the Badgers getting a victory recently in a football game where they had no business doing so. So it's like, hey, the impossible's possible. I believe in the Bucks.
Parker.
I think that the Bucks have shown that they've got the puzzle pieces, and they just need to be able to find a way to put them together. I've got a little bit of belief in this team, and I think that they're going to be able to get the job done. They're not going to be incredible without Giannis, obviously, but they're going to be better than a 500 team without him.
Conrad.
You know, one thing I've seen this year from the Bucks is they got some bench players that can play. Ryan Rollins, he's stepped in for the injured Kevin Porter, and he's played well. But the one thing that the Bucks need is Miles Turner to step it up, because he's been a little bit of a disappointment after signing him for a huge contract. I think he only averages like around like 13 points, which is not great from one of your best players. And without if Giannis isn't in, I can't really lean on him. So I don't know. I'm mixed on the Bucks right now. With Giannis, I feel like they could be a 7 seed or a 6 seed. Without him, I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
That brings us to number one in our top 7 at 7. And we get to do a double feature today because the Packers play twice before we're on the air next. They play tomorrow at home against the Vikings, and then they play the Lions on Thanksgiving, which will just be me propped up with my gravy boat as a beverage on one side and mashed potatoes on the other. You guys are going to be mixing potatoes and corn because you're weird. But Parker, let's start with you. Your Packers predictions for the upcoming week.
I've got a Packers win against the Vikings this week. I'm really interested in the Micah Parsons, how much success he'll have as Aaron Jones returns to Lambeau. Thanksgiving Day, I really hate to be a downer on a holiday, but I think the Lions are going to beat the Packers. I think that they've got a chip on their shoulder after the Packers really handled the Lions early on this year.
A chip on their shoulder and not, it should be noted, mashed potatoes and corn. Conrad.
You know, I'm going to say against the Vikings, we're going to take that game. You know, what I see from J.J. McCarthy is that he forgets how to play football until like maybe one or two drives at the end of the game. So I'm expecting that defense to, his nickname is Nine. So I expect them to take 9 down. And then for Thanksgiving, I'm expecting a Lions win. I'm a Debbie Downer like Parker over there, but I don't think we can pull it off in Detroit.
Because you guys are eating mashed potatoes mixed with corn.
All right.
Always comes
I'm not
back
letting
to
it go.
Such a
All
thing
right, Gray, tell us what this matchup, what these matchups bring for us this week. What are your predictions?
I think the corn and potato mixture fuels foul thoughts, and we've been seeing them on display. So I firmly believe in a victory over the Vikings this coming Sunday. That's going to look something like a 23-17 kind of victory, I feel like, just based on what the Vikings have been letting happen, and more specifically because of the play of J.J. McCarthy. I hate to harp on the one that everybody's beaten on, but J.J.'s just not doing it right now. When it comes to the Lions game, however, I am quite worried. What I'm seeing actually in both of these games is that Josh Jacobs, first of all, we're going to need him or somebody else to lean on, because both of these defenses are allowing slightly more rushing production than passing, where we need the passing game to open up for the rushing game to even be possible. The Packers are kind of backwards right now. Unless Christian Watson's making passes, teams are stacking the box. So injured receivers will tell the tale here. I think a win over Minnesota and a close loss against Detroit.
Vikings Packers tomorrow at Lambeau. We're going to talk Division III football coming up next. You are listening to Make the Call across the vast Civic Media sports empire. Back right after this. The first of 5 divisional games in the final 7 games of the season for the Packers is tomorrow. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It was the opening week of the season the last time the Packers played an NFC North opponent. They'll play 5 in 7 games the rest of the way. First up, it's the Vikings. Kickoff is at noon tomorrow at Lambeau Field. College sports, Wisconsin men's hoops lost last night 98-70 to 9th-ranked BYU. Meanwhile, Wisconsin men's hockey took down top-ranked Michigan State 5-4. Tonight, the Badgers football program takes on Illinois. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. 7 high school football teams claim state championships this week in Madison. Kenosha St. Joseph, Darlington, Mayville, Winneconne, Grafton, West Appear, and Arrowhead all won titles this week. You can find more information at WIAAWI.org. Tonight, the shorthanded Milwaukee Bucks take on the red-hot Detroit Pistons. Coach Doc Rivers said the Bucks have to find a way forward without Giannis for a week or two.
You know, what I talk about, like, we're going to find something during this stretch. I think we will. I think we are.
Tip-off is at 7 p.m. tonight. I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back statewide here on Civic Media. We wrap up the show today, not talking about the usual things, but getting set for football regardless, as this is the opening weekend of the football playoffs in Division III. And I am very happy to be joined right now by Pat Coleman of D3Football.com to talk about the upcoming playoffs. So, Pat, first of all, this is a historic year for Wisconsin-based schools. There are four teams from a Wisconsin-based conference in the postseason. It's the first time that's ever happened in Division III.
It sure is, and it took kind of a perfect storm of great results in non-conference play and then the right results in conference play where nobody ended up with more than two losses. You know, maybe there was a chance for a three-loss team out of the WIAC to get in the playoffs, but it wasn't necessary. Somehow it all lined up to be about as good as it could possibly be. Basically, yeah, I mean, basically a perfect storm, like I said, for the WIAC. And then Concordia, Wisconsin, you know, maybe not the preseason favorite in the NAC, in the Northern Athletics Collegiate Conference, knocking off Aurora and some of the other favorites and getting into the playoffs as well. So, yeah, should be a lot of fun for D3 in Wisconsin, as frankly, it always is.
Yeah, the WIAC went 21-2 in non-conference play, four teams into the postseason, kind of scattered across the bracket too a bit. So there's a chance for some of them to make a bit of a move too. I know last year, the teams that did make it in sort of struggled at the start of it. I'm wondering what you see in the matchups this year with some of the Wisconsin-based schools.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Let's start off, of course, with the game that's going on this weekend between Co and Concordia. You know, Concordia's had a great season. I really do like sophomore quarterback Roman Funk. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch as his career progresses. And he will end that career in the College Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin coming up in a couple of years. It'll be interesting adjustment at that point. But, you know, Coe's been on a roll. They're really strong defensively. They play in a conference that's generally considered as much stronger than the one that CUW plays in. You know, the NAC has surprised teams in this playoff before. Aurora certainly the poster child for that. So that'll be an interesting game. I think that Co should be favored, and that should be very interesting to watch. And we only have eight games this weekend, so there's plenty of time to you know, multi-screen yourself and watch as many as possible on ESPN Plus.
And also, you can find coverage as well at d3football.com. You guys do live analysis and along on social media as well. The WIAC schools, a couple of the matchups are already ready to go in that as well. And that these are next weekend. A lot of them get the bye. The expansion of the playoff field to 40 teams, I mean, in addition to making it possible for half of a conference to make it in, has right. also allowed kind of a little breathing window between the regular season and then the playoffs now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you think about, you know, guys who have played, you don't play 11 weeks in a row, obviously, in Division III, right? You play 10 games over the course of 11 weeks. But if you're in the WIAC, your bye week was week four. That was, you know, like the second to last weekend of September. These guys have been playing for a little bit. So to have a break, I think, you know, there hadn't been byes in the Division III playoffs since 2004 when they came back last year. I think there'll still be some adjustments for schools as to how they decide they want to structure their their off week practices and that sort of thing. You know, how much time do you give kids off? It's after Thanksgiving when these guys then finally take the field again. And so there'll be some learning curve, I think, for teams. But, you know, for folks like La Crosse and Platteville and Whitewater, they're playing a team on the other side that's done the exact same thing. So, you know, at least it'll be fairly even. River Falls has to wait until Saturday to find out whether they play Whitworth or Chapman. And they don't get the video from the NCAA, the scouting video, until after that happens. But I'm sure that folks out there have been collecting video on just about anybody they might play in this bracket. At least that's how, you know, most coaches I talk to do this stuff. So, you know, La Crosse going to Hope, that's one of the interesting matchups, because I don't think we know very well who's going to play quarterback for La Crosse. And Hope has been a pretty decent program over the past couple of years. They did win a game in last year's playoff. They were not embarrassed at North Central when they played them in a later round. That'll be interesting. Platteville gets to play at home. I'm sure Platteville is smarting for not having won that game at Wartburg last year. Alma is certainly someone who they should have film on already, because Alma played River Falls earlier in the season, so they should get some good look at that. And then, you know, that Whitewater-DePauw game is interesting too. DePauw is very strong defensively. They have a couple of really good weapons on offense, and that should be a really good matchup for Whitewater. I think that we don't pick round two until round two happens. I suspect it'll be a pretty toss-up game, that one.
Well, you mentioned the coverage that you had there, talking about picking games. There's a lot of other coverage you have with D3 Sports, football, basketball, everything like that. What can people look forward to in terms of playoff coverage from D3 Football?
Yeah, this is the most wonderful time of the year, right? We've got 39 games between now and January 4th to decide who the Division III football national champion will be. And so across the course of this past week, and you could find these things on the d3football.com front page right now, is we have been previewing each team by team. So there's 40 team capsules. You want to know not just about the five Wisconsin schools, but some stuff about all of the teams that they're playing or teams that might be elsewhere in their bracket. We have all of that for you. And then our kind of group of experts has gone through and predicted the bracket kind of at large, like who are going to be the surprises and the disappointments in each of the four quadrants and who we think will survive to the semifinals. That dropped on Thursday. It's in the column called Around the Nation. And then Friday morning, we released our first round game predictions, and that's score by score from eight different people. So one of the benefits of this is that you get an idea, like, do we think it's going to be a high scoring game or a low scoring game? Will it be close, or will it be, you know, a game that's kind of a blowout? Those are what you get by having eight different opinions. And, you know, there are a couple of toss-ups in this first round, which should be interesting to watch. So, you know, even if you're a Wyack fan who doesn't have a rooting interest in most of those games, I would definitely suggest sitting down, pull up that ESPN Plus app on your smart TV or on your laptop or on your phone and consume as much of this playoff as possible.
Pat Coleman, D3 Football, D3Sports.com. Thank you for your time. Looking forward to the playoffs here getting started today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
In addition to all the playoff games, there will also be two college football bowl games today, including the Isthmus Bowl, which is played in Sun Prairie. That is at 2 o'clock between UW-Stout and WashU. And then over in Wauwatosa, it's the Lakefront Bowl, which matches up Aurora against Illinois College. So you've got options today for college football here in the great state of Wisconsin. We're going to dive back in on the Packers, but first, we're going to talk Badgers football. They take on Illinois coming up tomorrow night. Also recap yesterday's Badgers BYU game next on Make the Call.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's time now for our Campus Connection segment with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. We got football and basketball to talk about today. All right, let's get the football out of the way. I think people are really looking at this season, you know, kind of a lost year. There's no bowl game coming up. So I got to ask you, Jake, what do Badger fans have to look forward to in the game today at Illinois, the game next week at Minnesota?
One, of course, for those that Wisconsin fans, it's the axe for next week. It is Ball Bunyan's axe. I know you and I will talk about this next Saturday, before the game, but I will tell you, that is something every Wisconsin fan should be looking forward to. But then also, this is a team. I mean, it's a rivalry with Wisconsin and Illinois. With Brett Bielema back as Wisconsin coach, there have been ties to, obviously, former Wisconsin safety Aaron Henry is now the defensive coordinator there. James White was an assistant running backs coach before he took a head coaching job down in Illinois. So there's a lot, I think, for Wisconsin fans. It's senior day today. So when you have that, you have a lot of players that have gone through a coaching change. You have gotten a lot of players that I don't think people realize just how much they have gone through with not just Paul Chris as their coach, especially those recruits that were recruited by Paul. Jim Leonard is interim coach, and now, you know, the Luke Fickell era. So I think for Wisconsin for this weekend, it's seeing what they can beat Brett Bielema, a former coach that left in not so great terms. I don't think a lot of the fan base has forgiven him yet for that. And then, of course, Paul Bunyan's axe and to beat PJ Fleck. So there is stuff still to fight for this season.
Well, let's talk basketball, because this is a result that I was really surprised to see social media just turn to anger over this game yesterday. But BYU put up nearly 100 points on Wisconsin, a 98-70 win yesterday. What are some takeaways from this loss to BYU?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's Wisconsin shooting, 37%, just under 38% from the field. Did not do well out there in Utah. I mean, this is a team that may or live or die by the three-pointer. And when you're 7 of 29 from beyond the arc, that's less than 25%, you're not going to win a game. And so the inside game is going to have to become more prevalent. But the fact that BYU shot, 48% from the field. You know, they have some NBA type players. And also Richie Saunders, once again, was a big factor. 26 points, 10 of 16 from the field, 5 of 9 from three-point range. You know, Wisconsin kind of kept it close at time. You know, they had, it was a rough start. They kind of fought back, but then you saw BYU kind of put on the afterburners, and you just didn't see a lot of fight back after that. So I think, you know, it's warranted, especially with just, and now granted, everyone, it's a transfer class where, you know, college basketball is in a transfer realm where rosters can flip over so quickly. And so still so early in the year, you can call this a litmus test too, to see just where they need to do to get better. And this loss should help them going forward, starting next week and going forward into Big Ten play. But it is, yeah, it, I mean, they should be a little mad because this is a, obviously BYU knocked Wisconsin out of the tournament in the round of 32 last year. And, it, you know, a lot of talk about how talented the starters are for this team, and not all of them performed. You know, you can give credit to Nolan Winter, 14 points, 14 rebounds. But, you know, and Nick Boyd, 16 points on his end. But, you know, John Blackwell didn't have his best game. And the other, you know, Austin Rapp was 0-7 from the field. So, there's a lot to work on for Wisconsin, and obviously they will when they have their trip to San Diego coming up.
Jake Kokorowski, BadgerObserver.com is where you can find his work. Thanks for your time, and thanks for talking all things Bucky.
Awesome. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving coming up. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jake. And now we stick with the football theme a bit after talking a little hoops there as well with Jake. And let's talk about two Packers games coming up, two for the price of one here on Make the Call. And that allows me to welcome back our roundtable today of Parker Olson, Conrad Krieger, and Gray Gunderson. So the Packers play twice, two of their five remaining divisional games. They have seven games left. Five are against NFC North foes. It's a really odd schedule to close out the year for the Packers. And it all gets started with the Vikings tomorrow. We talked about it earlier in the show. It sounds like the Vikings and JJ McCarthy, he could use a little Toyota-thon miracle right about now to help him play a little better. But they play tomorrow, followed by the Lions on Thursday. For the Packers, after kind of struggling on offense here the last few weeks, they're going to see another really tough defense tomorrow. I'm going to start with you, Conrad, just talking about this game a little bit. This is a, I can't say a must-win kind of thing, but, you know, with the division really up for grabs here, the Packers control their own destiny, and I think this week goes a long way in deciding it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a must-win just because our division's so close right now that if we win, we can definitely be one if we see these other losses. So I think the win is determined on our defense this week, and, you know, like last week, our defense did not play that well. But our offense played well. So I'm hoping we have a happy medium this week where both play well. I know we haven't seen that since like week two, but I'm really hoping for it. Gray, what do you think?
You know, I was actually just thinking, Conrad, because you and I take a very different perspective on this one. I identify a major need in a couple different ways as improvement from the receivers might be the major thing for both of these two games. If you follow Pro Football Focus and their rating systems, I don't blame you if you don't. But the nice thing about any given rating system is that they're consistent. So you can look at Jordan Love's PFR ratings and you can still get a general idea, even if you don't like their methods. Here's the thing. That game last week was his highest rated game ever, and it wasn't close, beating out that Dallas playoff game from a season ago. So the drops from the receivers cannot happen again, regardless of why they did. I think it was wind in a lot of cases, but it doesn't matter. Those can't happen. If they don't happen, we win last week's game by two or three touchdowns almost. Though, of course, we can't pretend the points would have just gotten added and other things wouldn't have changed. Suffice to say, as I get into the weeds here, that as we go from this coming game into the Detroit game, the injuries and the availability that happened in between are what terrifies me. 17 players on the injury report this past Wednesday, 18 on Thursday, just for funsies. That's a third of the team, and actually over a third of the team. I know Friday looked a little bit better, but today's injury report will tell me how to feel for the next 12 days. Parker, yeah. What are you looking at watching this one? Because I think the three of us pick a three-headed monster role. What are you watching this weekend?
I think I'm watching just how badly the Vikings need to win this game. When you look at where they are in these NFC North standings, Conrad, you mentioned how close this division is. The Vikings are at the bottom of this conference right now, and they're the only ones with a losing record. They're 4-6 right now. If they drop to 4-7, and you've got a Bears team who is potentially 8-3, or a Packers team who's 7-3, you're going to have a pretty hard time getting out of that hole. That's a pretty hard hole to dig out of. So I think that the Vikings are going to find a way to really scrape and crawl through this game. I'm really interested in what's going to happen with, as Gray was saying, the Packer health. It sucks. It really does that you're going to have two games in, was it 5 days? It's a really quick turnaround, and you're turning around into somebody that I don't think you want to have to turn around into quickly. The Lions are one of those teams that are fast physical, and quick turnaround does not bode well when that happens. Conrad, I think we can kind of move into that Thanksgiving Day matchup a little bit more here. What are you watching as the Packers march into Detroit?
Well, I got to say, there's one thing that, you know, I'm sad still about. I really miss Tucker Kraft. He was a huge part of our offense. And just watching our other tight ends last week, it was just a totally different offense part with, I mean, Luke is not that great with yards after catch or just even catching the ball, I guess. But yeah, I miss Tucker Kraft a lot.
Those were a couple weird plays from Luke. I was sitting there wondering, and it was awesome to see Wiley end up with a touchdown. That was awesome. But if you go back, I was actually watching, I think his name is JT McConnell. There's a QB school YouTuber who was breaking it down, and Wiley was blowing a couple blocking assignments. So while he did get that passing tutty, and that was awesome, and that's what we maybe need, the thing that made Tucker Kraft so awesome was that the running game was better when you had a tight end on the strong side and he was wearing number 85. I think the one thing that the three of us all really agree on, and I know Jimmy does too, is that one of the teams of the NFC North is A, going to be one of the best in the NFC, and B, still not make the playoffs. Kind of just like last season, where there's such a top heavy conference up here in the NFC North, where it's pretty likely that the two of the wild card teams of the NFC come from the NFC North. Second and third place in the division might still make the playoffs, which means fourth place could still be good. And it could not be good enough. Right now, my pick for that is the Vikings. But let's be real, guys. There's a non-zero chance that we find out that 9 is actually a 9 out of 10 as opposed to the 9 out of 100 that he kind of seems to be these last couple weeks. How likely do you guys, Conrad, what do you think is the likelihood that J.J. McCarthy is the starter in Minnesota next year?
You know, you can't give up on a kid that fast, I think. You know, I think he has shown signs that he can do his job. He's also shown signs where he doesn't know how to play football. But he has some of the best receivers in football right now. Yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. I mean, he even has T.J. Hockenson as a tight end. So, I mean, I'm confused why he can't figure it out sometimes. But I think this week against the Packers, I mean, Justin Jefferson might have a good game. But they also could rely heavily on Aaron Jones, I could see as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Conrad. It's not about the extreme nature or even the frequency of McCarthy's mistakes. It's about the basic nature. His feet were set, and that was a check down open in the flat. Where did that ball go? So when you can't explain why things are going wrong, it's kind of harder to believe, I think, that they'll stop going wrong. Parker, what are you expecting next year out of the Vikings? The Purple People Eater, will it be there? Will it not?
I'm not sure. I'm with you, Conrad. I'm not a fan of getting rid of a quarterback really quickly. But there's a lot of question marks around McCarthy. He just does not strike me as an NFL quarterback. He strikes me as someone who frankly shouldn't have been taken as early on as he was. I'm still kind of baffled by the fact that he was a sort of weirdly hot commodity coming out of college, coming off a championship at Michigan. I am very prone to say, like, if you win a championship, you have to be really good, obviously. But that system that he was in Michigan was just made to make it, frankly, kind of easy on a quarterback. He wasn't going to be asked a ton of stuff, and now he's an NFL quarterback, and you need to be one of the best 32 ball slingers in the world. And I don't think that's what he is. He's obviously been injury prone. Also, what was the whole like saga with, is he injured? Is he not injured? Do we need to actually play him or not? Because I don't think the Vikings were interested in playing him for a good while. It all seemed very odd to me how they've handled him as a situation over there in Minnesota. Gray, tell me something good about the Vikings. Tell me about those receivers, and because I'm a little worried, and I don't know how worried I should be about this team.
You're worried that the Vikings are going to pull one over the Packers on Sunday?
I kind of do, because sometimes I worry about that Packers secondary.
It's the short zone, dude. Yeah, it's the short zone. I'm worried that Justin Jefferson is going to sit there in the middle of two linebackers and two safeties, just like that. It was happening last week. And actually, consistently over the last 3 weeks, each team has kind of selected a guy to eat up that seam. And the Packers have shown that the bend don't break system allows for yardage in that equation. I guess, more than anything, I'm scared of Justin Jefferson, but I believe the pass rush will get home fast enough. That's what's going to be the one pick. If I had to pick one position group, we need Rashawn and Micah to get a little bit higher on that sack chart. Rashawn, people are acting like he's on a milk carton. He's currently tied with Aiden Hutchinson. He's above TJ Watt. He's top 10 in the league in sacks right now. And whether he gets more stats in that column, I think, is whether the Packers get another win in that column.
Well, there's two games for the Packers coming up between now and the next time we do this show, and it'll be very exciting to see this week what happens. And we'll get a chance to recap both games coming up a week from today. We'll be doing a post Black Friday special, a Small Business Saturday special edition, I guess. Is that what happens that day? We'll do that. I'll make the call coming up a week from now. Conrad, Parker, Gray, great to have you guys aboard for this. As always, we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks Jimmy. Guys.
Make the Call continues right after this here on the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of Make the Call here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska to take you the rest of the way today. Well, it was certainly an entertaining week in high school football as we had the 7 state football championship games at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, and I was on hand to cover it all and take in all 7 championship games. It was a lot of fun to see all the different teams that made it to state, of course, and then obviously the teams that won it. It's such a cool moment. I was part of a state championship team as a student athlete myself, so I know what that moment is like. And for these 14 squads that made it, certainly a lot of memories made in this. So let's talk about it. Division 7's game was a little one-sided. Kenosha St. Joseph wrapped up an undefeated season, a 35-19 win over Cochrane Fountain City. The Lancers setting a Division 7 record for passing yards in a D7 title game, 226, in fact, in that win over Cochrane Fountain City. In Division 6, it was Darlington and Edgar, a matchup of two powerhouse programs, and it was Darlington out to a big lead in the first half, 35-6, in fact, the halftime lead, a 42-18 victory over Edgar as Darlington won its first state championship since 1995. That's a span of 30 years. In Division 5, it was Mayville getting the win over Northwestern, a final score of 42-32. Mayville actually had a little bit of an advantage going into the fourth quarter, but Mayville and Northwestern played pretty even statistically, 342 total yards for Mayville, and for Northwestern, 324 total yards. Mayville finishing up an undefeated season. And Division 4 was the nightcap on Thursday, and that one was the most exciting game of the day. It was a fourth quarter comeback for Winneconne as they won 28-22 over Little Chute. A big play near the end of the game is the difference maker in that one. A minute 20 to go in it, and it was Winneconne getting an 8-yard touchdown run to win that contest. So Winneconne also finishing undefeated and won its second ever state championship. Then on Friday, yesterday, it was Divisions 3 through 1. The Division 3 game was highly entertaining. If you're a fan of football, you were watching this one. The ground game proved to be the most important factor in this, as Will McConowitz for Reedsburg had 255 yards and 2 touchdowns. He set a Division 3 rushing record in the game, but it would not be enough as Grafton got a 17-15 victory, improving to 14-0 on the year, their first championship since back-to-back titles in 1981 and 1982. How they won it was a field goal with 6 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, a 35-yarder by Grayson Bollock to win, as the Blackhawks had driven 49 yards to that point in 91 seconds to set up the game-winning field goal. Wes DePere threw a whole bunch of passes and completed them for a whole bunch of yards in defeating Notre Dame in a matchup of undefeated teams in Division II. It was Wes DePere doubling up 28-14 in that game. Wes DePere set passing records in this Division II championship game as it was their quarterback, Pat Greason, going for 304 yards. On the other side of that, Notre Dame running back Kingston Allen set the single-season state record for rushing yardage in the game as he ended up finishing with quite the load, 43 rushing yards or rushing attempts for 231 yards and two touchdowns. The rushing attempts, by the way, a state record in D2. And in Division I, an instant classic as Arrowhead got a late kickoff return on a squib kick 76 yards to the house to win 18-15 over defending champion Bayport. Bayport had just scored in the fourth quarter themselves. They also had a chance near the end to try a field goal or pass for the end zone. They decided to go for the win on the pass, incomplete from 11 yards out, and Arrowhead wins its seventh state championship, 18-15 over Bayport. Your seven state champions crowned, plus McDonald in eight-player last weekend. Big, big day for us here on Make the Call. Big thanks to everybody who joined us, including our panel, Greg Gunderson, as well as Conrad Krieger and Parker Olson, also Pat Coleman of D3 Football and Jay Kokorowski of Badger Observer. You've been listening to Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody. The first of five divisional games in the final seven games of the season for the Packers is tomorrow. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It was the opening week of the season the last time the Packers played an NFC North opponent. They'll play five in seven games the rest of the way. First up, it's the Vikings and wide receiver Justin Jefferson, who coach Matt LaFleur says is a real weapon.
Oh, man. He is as good as they get in this business. I love how the guy competes with the football, without the football. Matter of fact, there was a clip that we showed. Just you can see the urgency at which he plays. He catches the ball. He goes to the ground. Nobody touches him. He gets up, and he gets 15 yards, after going to the ground. So he can run every route. There's not a route he can't run. He can run short routes, the choice routes. He can go deep on you. He's got tremendous ball skills. I just think there's a lot to like about his game.
The Packers and Vikings square off tomorrow. For Green Bay, a number of injuries have affected the lineup, especially on offense, where running back Josh Jacobs might not be able to play. Here's Coach Matt LaFleur on his status.
I mean, first of all, he's got to be medically cleared. Certainly his level of confidence. And then, we'll all discuss and we'll make a decision.
Kickoff is at noon tomorrow at Lambeau Field. Tonight, the shorthanded Milwaukee Bucks take on the red-hot Detroit Pistons. Coach Doc Rivers said the Bucks have to find a way forward without Giannis for a week or two.
You know, what I talk about, we're going to find something during this stretch. I think we will. I think we are. Tonight, I saw a bunch of things we can do when Giannis is not on the floor. And that's how you have to look at these things.
Tip-off is at 7 p.m. tonight. College sports, Wisconsin men's hoops lost last night 98-70 to ninth-ranked BYU. Meanwhile, Wisconsin men's hockey took down top-ranked Michigan State 5-4. Tonight, the Badgers football program takes on Illinois. Coach Luke Fickell was asked whether or not the team had found any improvement this season.
I don't know. I'd like to say that, in particular, I thought we've done a decent job at the end of the first halves. It's coming out the second half that we haven't done as well. Some of that is we've lost a coin toss and not been what we want it to be, where we can actually get the ball to start the second half. And some of it is, like I said, like last week, our defense goes out there and in a tough situation, but in a situation where we really need you guys to step up and kind of get this second half going, and we didn't. But that's something where we're still growing. That has to do with us as coaches, but also has to do with the leadership within both sides of the ball.
Kickoff is at 6 p.m. Seven high school football teams claim state championships this week in Madison. Kenosha St. Joseph, Darlington, Mayville, Winneconne, Grafton, West Appear, and Arrowhead all won titles this week. You can find more information at WIAAWI.org. I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.